And I don't know if you've ever been like, we say I'm just trying to catch a breath. But have you ever been an entire season where you were actually gulping water, trying to? My wife and I spent 3 years in a season just like that. And I sat out there in the car one day, and a Mendisa song came on, God is with you. And it was medicine to me. I came in and I preached, probably was preaching to myself more than I was to anybody else. And I went back to the car, got in my car, and this was not a CD. No, and it wasn't an 8-track either. I know what some of you are thinking. It was on the radio. And I'm telling you, that song picked up exactly right where it left off when I got in that car. And if God wasn't trying to tell me that He was with me, I'm telling you, He used that radio station and that song to let me know, just, you're not going to go under. You might gulp a little water here and there. I'm going to test you. I'm going to stretch you. But I am with you. I'm telling somebody today, God is with you. Just I'm telling you, He's with you. Just stay in the fight. Keep going. You're going to be fine. He's with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And so it's going to be all right. God's going to be with you. He's going to be with you in your circumstances. Hey, man, I'm excited to have Brother and Sister Gonzalez with us this week. And it has been not only on a personal level a privilege and a pleasure to have them with us, but from the church here, it's been great to have them with us and stretching us, stretching our minds and our hearts and our spirits to really expand our relationship with God. If you feel like you're being talked to by a cop, because you are, he was a deputy sheriff in Salem, Oregon for a number of years and had different roles in different departments and different agencies. Sometimes in a team, there's a good cop and a bad cop. If you want to know after service today which one's the good cop and which one's the bad cop, between Brother and Sister Gonzalez, just come tell me that you need to know that information. I'll let you know who's the sweet, kind cop and who's not. Brother Gonzalez, we love you. You got a great connection. You and your wife both have a great connection with this church. Thank you for helping us the last few days. Come on, minister to us. Let's make him feel welcome as he comes.
Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Lift your hands and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful presence of the Lord is here. And what an honor to be in the house of God. Your great pastor and first lady, you can stand down, please. I mean, sit. It's also great when I get to bring the bad cop with me. You have the right to remain silent. Not really. I think you'll be able to tell. She's the sweetest thing. Fourth generation, one God apostolic, solid as they come, straight as an arrow. And I'm the one that snuck in when nobody was looking. And God has been good. Listening to the worship. And these words came to my mind. I think it's an old song that says, mercy rewrote my life. How many are glad for the mercy of God? Amen. I'm being sweet before I get mean. But I want the War Department to come up here. That's what I call her. And I want her to holler at at you for a minute. Come on, girl. Say hi.
It is so good to be with you this morning. Do you feel the presence of God? Amen. Amen. It's good to be with your pastor and wife. I love them. You have a good pastor. Amen. 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 I love their family. More than anything, I love Jesus. As they were singing that song, I was thinking that I collect music boxes. I love music. I'm a musician. But God collects our prayers. The Bible says that our prayers come up before Him as a perfume, and He collects them in golden jars, golden bowls, and you know they're important because they're in gold. And I have found that prayer and waiting are connected. You cannot separate prayer and waiting. Because prayer is not about getting what you want. Prayer is really about formation and getting Jesus inside of you. There was a man in John, I believe it was chapter 8 or chapter 9, that was blind from birth. And we don't know how old he was, but we know he was a man. And according to Jewish, to be a man, you had to be 30 years old. So we know that he was at least 30 years old. And to think, the disciples said, you know, why was this man born blind? Was it, you know, something that his parents did, that he did? And Jesus said that God may be glorified in his life. And I thought, 30 years, at least 30 years of waiting for God to be glorified in his life, this man had to go around feeling walls and not seeing, and being blind. Who knows how he was made fun of and all of this stuff. And it's in the waiting, and we don't like the waiting because that's the stuff that's hard. But at just the right time, because prayer isn't just perfume. And we say, God, I don't just want to smell perfume. I want the prayer to be answered. I want it to come down. But at just the right time, in Revelation chapter 8, it says, just the right time, an angel comes and he takes the fire from the altar, and he touches these bowls that have our prayers, and he lights them on fire, and then he throws them down to heaven, because at just the right time, God answers our prayer. Not when we want it, not when we think we need it, but just the right time. It comes down like fire from heaven, like a bomb, and that perfume. And I'm so thankful that he's a God that our prayers never die. Our prayers, if you keep praying, if you keep waiting, even though it's hard, even though you can't see, at just the right time, he tells the angel to light the fire and pour it out. And I'm so thankful for a God that answers prayer, for a God that doesn't do what I want, but that God may be glorified in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord.
Come on, lift him up. Everybody stand to your feet for just a moment. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Vicky. That's why she's my favorite preacher. She's a piece of work, that girl. Yes, she is. While you're standing, I am not a sermonizer. I just try to obey the Lord, and so I have no titles to my messages, and I just flow, and I stop when I need to. And if you're wondering about Columbus, this will probably be part two of the same theme with maybe some other limited commercial interruptions and testimonies. Pop used to say, Bishop Sisko used to say, tell them when you preach, son, first tell them something they want to hear, and then tell them something they need to hear. She just told you something you want to hear. Can I tell you something you need to hear? It's all good. Matthew 11, I will read these verses to set a foundation. In Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. It was to remind John of what was happening in his heart. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? Again, what are you looking for? Where are you searching? Is your expectation in alignment with God's Spirit? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And the theme for today, if we can do so. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. One more time, would you lift your hands? Pa'achristen jidalechayenu. Meja debich ada. Izudaesh elechama uneke. Wajadel chami Christuna bae. Ulastele shihile. Ulashemuch anechre. Naeshtule abach. Abach edosh ulemach eyuzu, vuabresta nanye, zedael uchaim, uchaim la bechtu, ma'achrestein uakashe. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Be seated, please. Compelling verses from the scripture, powerful powerful message that is delivered in Jesus' discourse. If you are truly committed, you will be targeted. You will become the object of your enemy's attention. You will have a bullseye, both on your back and on your heart. You will have to come into alignment with 2 Timothy 2 and 3. As a good soldier, endure hardness as you travel and journey through the steps that God has ordered for you. And the enemy will do his best, and life will do its best to bring trials and to wear you out physically, emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. This may find itself manifested in many different ways, and perhaps you will be able to relate to some of these. Mental anguish, negative memories of past failures, the things that draw you and pull you down and distract you from your purpose and your destiny and what God wants to do in you and through you. Feelings of unworthiness, feelings of inadequacy. I am incapable. I cannot accomplish these things. A hopelessness as you look ahead for your guiding compass and the guiding light of your life is just the darkness that surrounds you. Anybody ever travel through those roads? Anybody ever feel those things? Anybody in the moment perhaps feeling some of those things? Amen. You don't get a pass. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. You don't get a pass. You don't get to be coddled because of these things. You make the decisions and the choices as to what is going to own your destiny if you are Spirit-filled. I will receive such a nod from a world that does not have Him. I will receive that from a world that is not Spirit-filled. But if the DNA of God truly resides in you as a child of God, I understand there'll be trials, but the Bible does not give you the place or position to be owned by those things. If we are truly more than conquerors, we rise up to the challenges and we invoke the power from on high and we push through those things and we drive as the Holy Ghost rises up within us. From the days of John the Baptist until now, oh, the kingdom of heaven comes under assault. Things rise up at the recognition of your potential, at the recognition of the possibility that you may make that executive decision to actually embrace your giftings and your anointing and let it flow when the enemy comes in. So, in God's economy, settle the question. Suffering is a calling, and Peter wrote about it. Suffering is a part of the process. Handle it, filter it, and let it be the tool of transition and not the thing that destroys you. Somebody give God some praise in this house. I don't know about you. I have been in the darkest places. I have seen things that human beings do to human beings that I would never want you to be exposed to. I have seen the worst of humanity, but it drives me when it drives me crazy when I see spirit-filled people whining about their little things and paralyzed by their circumstances. I don't want any part of your church or your religion if this is what it means to be an apostolic. Give me a man, a woman who says, yes, it gets hard. Yes, it hurts. And yes, sometimes I suffer, but the kingdom of heaven, when it suffers violence, causes there to be something that rises inside of me. Nothing in God's economy was ever designed. Nothing of any adverse nature is meant to cripple you, much less kill you. Stop feeding the problem with words that empower your enemy. We give too much credit to darkness. Shake yourself. Declare it. David ran into the camp, a child at best, a young teen, to watch Israel's mighty military cower in the trenches, cower in fear at the voice of one man. One man. And the kid simply looks around and says these words, "Is there not a cause?" What drove this young psalmist to make those statements in light of the fact that he was surrounded by men better trained than him for the things of war? But he just came out of the wilderness of worship. He came out of a wilderness of understanding how to connect with God. And when it was all said and done, he wouldn't even wear the armor of the cowards. But with 5 stones, he walked up. You know the story. We've preached it. But did you ever consider why in the world it was that David could allow such violence to rise up in his soul when he looked at that man, as big as he was, with all his weapons and armor, and called him an uncircumcised Philistine? In Chicago, we would have talked about his mama. We would have insulted everything we could to get a response, to invoke a reaction. That's how we do in Chicago. We mess with people all the time. Pause for a commercial. I know you're so, that's so loving for you to tell the visitors, don't feel like you got to give. My gangsters, and there's about 30% of them at ICF, are my ushers. You don't get a choice. You got some of these boys standing over you all tatted up, and they, you're going to give it up. I'm just saying. That's how we roll. He looks at that man. He says, you're an uncircumcised. What he was trying to convey for all who would hear is you are just a man with human ability, but I am a man with a covenant. I have a covenant. I have a connection that you don't have, church. You need to understand what the implications of your covenant are. There is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper, nor any tongue that shall rise against you. Come on, church. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. I will not settle. I will not settle. I will not settle. And I will not back down. We used to have a saying in my circles, I don't get paid to fight fair. I get paid to win. At the end of the day, after my shift, after I've served the warrant, after I've come against the trafficker and the drug addict, after I've come against that armed suspect, I am going home to mama and the kids. I've been in the fray and I'm still here because there's something about the Spirit of God that rises up when the enemy comes in like a flood. There's a standard. There's a standard. It's a position. It is a posture. It is a mindset. The will to live, not just survive, but to thrive and to grab from those very adverse elements all of the tools of victory to transition me, everything that the enemy throws at you. And so David teaches us a lesson. You will either look at your enemy as an obstacle and continue to operate defensively, or you'll understand that in God's economy, everything, everybody say everything, every adverse circumstance, everything that comes out of darkness and rises against you, no longer, if you are operating in the dimension of your true identity and you are positioned as you should be, nothing that comes against you is any more an obstacle, but everything adverse, everything opposing you now simply becomes a door. Goliath was a door for David to walk through to his destiny. He was not just a young shepherd boy. He was a king on his way to office. Come on, church! Make your enemy a door! So it was with Joseph. Look at the powerful ones. Look at the ones who wrestled victory out of things that no one else could see but as defeat. And so we have an opportunity to engage in this process of formation, defining moments, doors, Ziklag. When Amalek came and took everything, the women, the children, and all that they had, while they were out doing the bidding of God, sometimes God allows certain things. And Amalek came, and David, they spoke of stoning him because nobody could understand how this could happen under his watch, much less when they were doing what they were supposed to. But in God's economy, Ziklag became more than an opportunity. It became a blessing with interest, because when David encouraged himself in the Lord, and here's where we stop. Oh, Bill, as often as you got to sit in that car and encourage yourself in the Lord, we've got to do it until we get a revelation of who we are. And when Ziklag was all said and done, God said, go and recover all. They didn't just recover all, because Amalek had already been through different provinces when David went to recover his stuff. He also got the spoils from other places. And so every time that you cross that barrier of your flesh and you cross through the door that would have been an obstacle, God always pays with interest. You will come up with more than what you started. It's a principle, church. Let the violent rise. Let the violent rise to the occasion. Somebody say, not on my watch. Somebody say, devil, I am going to get it all back. I am going to fight. I am going to serve the warrant. And I'm going to walk away with more than I came looking for. Somebody give God praise in this house. And let the violent worship. Come on, church. Settle the question. Stop avoiding the conflict. Stop being subjugated by the circumstance. Own it. Own it. The book is your guide. Own it. Oh, been through some tough times. I hear you. Love the songs that talk about how you didn't let me drown. Oh, I wish he'd throw you in the deepest part until you learn to swim, until you learn how to make that a part of your environment. We too often have the mentality that the darkness means we've been buried, when indeed God may have planted you there because he sees in you what you have yet to see. And when the Spirit of God dwells in you and you tap into that essence, that divine nature, that place, oh, church, listen. All of this that we've been teaching the last few days culminates with this. Handle your business. Settle the question. Settle the question. Too many of us avoid conflict because we want to live that mediocre, apathetic, tranquil, apostolic life. I just want to be saved. No, church, my world is going through hell right now, and the kingdom is under assault. Somebody needs to say, I don't care what it takes. I will not say somebody else can do it. I will rise up and I will tap into the oil of my anointing, and I'm going to make sure that God has a way to find expression through me, through my hands, through my knees. Oh, church, somebody get violent. I've had to remind my enemy from time to time when he rises up to breathe the threatenings of an enemy and says, Gonzalez, I I'm going to bring you the worst storm that you have ever experienced. Your rockleton will not compare to what I'm bringing your way. I'm fed up with you. And I just sit back and say, bring it on, devil. You forgot something. I am the storm. I am your storm. And don't be mistaken when you come at me and you watch me bow my head. And when you watch me fall to my knees, don't you for a moment assume this is surrender. No, this is my posture to go to war with you. I will take you down on my knees. I will bow my head and I will reach for heaven. You cannot defeat a soldier who knows how to walk on his knees and how to reach for heaven in all the right ways. Come on, church! And there are times when it happens along the way. I've been injured, been stabbed twice, been shot at. I heard the bullets whiz. I have been there, and there are times when you get injured, and yeah, you take a hit, but then again, even that is God saying, let me show you what I can do even when you take a hit and something rises up in me. And as the enemy says, I got him, I say, rejoice, not against me. Oh, my enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. I will get back up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. A righteous man will fall 7 times. Don't you give up! Ah! Somebody cry war! Come on, lift your hand. Somebody is getting a revelation of your true anointing today. Somebody's tapping into something. Come on. You didn't walk in here by coincidence. God wanted you to hear this because he's about to thrust you into the battle of battles to show you who he can be through you, who he can be and what he can do through you. Come on, reach for heaven for just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing wrong with our message. There is nothing wrong with our separation. Why do we act like we are a part of the secret service of Jesus Christ? Nobody knows we're really apostolic because we just walk around, but we don't act. We don't engage. We fail to do his bidding. Stand down for a minute. Sit. You know, good brother, it was was a time, and I still do it in the spirit, and sometimes I've had to still do it in the flesh because I still consult. There's been more than one time when I had to look at that dirt bag, at that criminal, and trust me, no judgment. I just had to do my job. I loved everybody. And when I got him in the cage, I had a captive audience. Some of my prisoners became preachers because I witnessed to them. But understand what I'm saying. I used to tell them, for all the talking and all the name calling they and all the threats they made to me, I said, look, I'm here because you made a bad decision. You had a stupid attack, and I have become your consequence. I wish to God somebody would be willing. I do it all the time. Devil, make your move. But remember this, I will become your consequence. You will hear my voice talking to Jesus. You will hear me groaning in the spirit because of your actions, and be ready for the consequences, because you will not be held innocent for what you've done. I am a general in the army of God, and I will come against you. Devil, I will salt your field. I will wear your skin. Are you listening, church? Something rises up inside of me every time I see that hooker on the corner, every time I see that drug deal, every time I see and come across that drive-by shooting, and every time I see the gang signs and the graffiti, I immerse myself and I go to war with darkness and I displace it because I know who I am. I will wear your skin, Satan. I will remove you from the equation. I will conquer, divide and conquer. I will be violent. Come on, somebody, worship the King. We're too passive, church. We're too passive. We're too tranquil. Somebody needs to get a revelation that we need to equal the balances here. We cannot just hum and nod our heads at the headlines that darkness is making all around us. We need to make some headlines for the kingdom. And so Joash comes into the chamber, for it was Elisha's turn to die. The time of his departure had come, and Joash walks into the chamber. My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And the prophet said, get a bow and get an arrow. And he got a bow and an arrow. And he said, pull it. And he held the king's hand with his own. And he said, fire it through the east window. And he fired it. And he said, prophetically, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Thou shalt smite the Syrians until they be consumed. And then he said, grab some arrows. He said, until they be consumed. Everybody say it with me. Until they be consumed. He said, grab some arrows, Joash. And he said, he grabbed the arrows. He said, smite the ground. And the king smote the ground three times and stayed or stopped. And the prophet became angry. The Bible uses the word wrath. He was angry. I just told you, you will consume them. And he said, you should have smitten at least six or seven times. Now you're only going to smite Syria and have three victories in this war. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, tell the church, tell Columbus, because you have way greater jurisdiction than Circleville. As a matter of fact, I want you to stand right now, grab your wife's hand, and stand before the Lord. You have greater jurisdiction than Columbus. God, this weekend has expanded your jurisdiction. Just stay right there. Let me make the point. When the prophet of God spoke, it was an indictment. And to the church, it's an indictment, because we settle for a few victories, but we don't win the war. Are you listening? We don't smite until we believe that we have consumed, until we have literally eliminated and neutralized the threat. We do not get trained as snipers just to wound. We are trained to neutralize the threat. We measure the wind. We measure the barometric pressure. We set the sights. The spotter speaks, and he is the most trained of both snipers, and he calls the shot. He measures the wind. Zero value. The caliber, the grain, the distance, and we don't miss. Church, stop settling for a handful of victories and win the war! You have prayed yourself into this matter here. And the Holy Ghost has spoken to me to give you this prophetic utterance. And to the east and to the west and to the north and to the south. Church, stand to your feet. I'm prophesying over your pastor. Your jurisdiction has been expanded. And these two congregations will only be the base and the catalyst for an expansion in the spirit that is unprecedented in this region. The Lord has already amassed an angelic host that will come and be at your disposal. Somebody worship the Lord right now. Unprecedented release of giftings. A multiplication and an acceleration is going to take place in this season. But there will be jurisdictional lines that are going to be expanded. God is taking all limitations off of this church because you have positioned yourself in that place. God has expanded your anointing. Not only is he placing upon you fresh oil, but this oil is going to expand through the congregation. Somebody lift your hands. If you are for the man of God, I want you to lift your hands. I feel the stop right now, but church, somebody needs to get around them and right now affirm with them that there will be a covenant for this prophecy and for the land. I am waiting for you. Obey the Lord. is for the men of God. Come on. Heaven is observing. The angelic host is being empowered and capacitated. You will release them by what you do this moment. But hell is also observing. And there will be war. And there will be violence in the spirit. But the violent will take it by force. The violent will pray it, will travail, will groan, will fast, will use the weapons of the Spirit. Harvest will come, but right now he's dealing with the body to position itself, to engage, and to embrace new identity. Come on, church. Smite the ground with the arrows until you know the enemy is consumed. Hallelujah. I will go to war. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, reach for heaven right now. God's got his hand on you. You're about to cross. Don't stop now. You're about to cross. You're about to cross. You're about to cross. In the name of Jesus. Come on. There's about to be a break in the spirit right now. Here it comes. Here it comes. The cloud is descending upon the house. Come on, the cloud is descending upon the house. All right. Stop. Stop. Bow your heads. The Lord will speak. Obey the Lord. No more tongues. I call for the interpretation. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord or he's going to transfer it. This is not a forced thing. Obey the Lord. Lift your hands and worship the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. The essence of what the Lord is trying to convey to you and I today. Thank you for your obedience. It's as close as it gets. And you need to understand, we have the authority to control outcomes. I've said it before. And we also activate the spirit world by the posture and the position that we take. those prayers cannot be released or could not be released until the Lord saw that you took and assumed the proper posture. This is something that is very, very tactical and very systematic. And he is trying to teach us how to transact with heaven to see the outcomes that need to take place. Your world needs to know and see you in a different light. I drove up here and I told my wife, oh, there's the Baptist church, there's the Church of Christ, oh, here's. And people drive by all the time. They see churches everywhere. Something happened here this morning. Something happened here this morning. And God has highlighted this church in this community and in this region. Do not abdicate the position you've taken. Do not allow anything. I'm talking to those that got this. Do not abdicate your identity as it is now revealed and clarified to you. Settle the question and the matter at hand. And go to war. Go to war. Get ready. Pastor, come up here.
We call it Nehemiah's wall. Nehemiah didn't build that wall. He had the vision for it, but there were a lot of people involved in that wall. And the church that's going to impact its area cannot just be from the pastor and the pastor's wife, the pastor's family. And so if we want the kind of impact, and we do, we're admitting that here today, then we all have to take that responsibility of our place in the wall. And so if you look at that story of Nehemiah's wall, it was a miracle how they did it so quickly. But if you look carefully, they all built the section of wall that was in front of their house. The structure was sound because they were guarding their house. And when everybody did their part, this miraculous thing happened when they all saw their part of the process. We've got to move. Today we move past attending church. Today we move past just being Christians. We are a mission-minded church now. That we not only see our mission as we're collectively here together, but the mission field is out there. We don't have to go to Europe. We don't have to go to Africa. We don't have to go to Australia. We don't have to go somewhere else. The mission field is right here. And they're your neighbors. They're at your job. They're bumping into you at the store. They're here. And so we've got to move beyond just inviting people to church and move beyond just that type of mindset and truly be mission-minded to do what God has called us to do.
I can't keep quiet. In this region, the ancestors were Indians, Native Americans, and they prayed over the land. And as we were praying, I was praying over the land, and the Lord told me that in your hand, he has placed water in one hand and a sickle in the other. And the prayers you are praying over the land, because they had prayed over the land, but we're coming against that we're giving the land to the Lord. We're praying over the land, and you will pour, and you will reap, and you will pour, and you will reap, and the land will bring forth for God. I just had to tell you that.
We receive that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
A long time ago, when I think it was even before we got this church, I had a vision. This building, we were at the old church, but I had a vision. The Lord just brought it back to me right there. I had a vision, and I told my husband, I said, I saw this thing. There was sheep that were coming from as far as I could see. They were coming to this church. Once we got here, I said, this is the place, because where we were, there was no fields, and I saw all out in the fields behind us, there was sheep that were just coming. And as you were driving out of your parking places, you were so careful not to mess with the sheep, and you were all just loving the fact that all these sheep were coming to our house of worship. And the Lord has brought that back to me. I believe it's time for the sheep to come. It's time for the sheep that we've seen to be brought into this house.
Some of those little lambs already made their way in. Where's Linda? Is she not here? Okay. How many houses are going in next door to us? I'd heard 200. Right here in this field. The field that you saw is turning into a neighborhood. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us to care for those that you're bringing. God, let us draw, Lord. Let your Spirit draw them. Nobody comes to you except you draw them. But as you draw them, Lord, help us to be willing to do battle on their behalf. Hallelujah. Help us to engage the spirit world so that it'll make it an easy entry for them. Hallelujah, Lord, that we will be in tune, Lord, to your Spirit to care for them in the natural, but to open an avenue and a door in the Spirit for them to make their way in easily, Lord, to be into your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Before I came into the sanctuary, and I failed to say it when I was making my introductory remarks, and I was going to tell somebody that you just never know when it's your day and where God has something for you. Where it's just the moment where that's just your day. And I felt like that was what I wanted to deliver, and I totally did not say it. It totally got away from me before I turned the microphone over. I had no idea it would be the day for all of us. That in one day that God would just sweep through here the way he did and totally change the destiny of this church and totally lock us into a new venue, a new avenue that we would tap into, that it would move way beyond processes and things like that, that there would be a supernatural shift in the Spirit for this church. Let's give the Lord thanks one more time today. Jack, I knew you had it. I almost turned around and said, don't hesitate just because it was your wife. So I knew you had it. I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing in our church and in our midst. And as Brother Gonzalez said, it's going to go way beyond just this congregation and way beyond just the neighborhood here and just Circleville, move into Pickaway County. And so we got to expand our horizons. Amen. Father, I'm grateful beyond words, Lord. Lord, as we digest and we contemplate what we have heard and felt and experienced today, Lord, a new beginning and a fresh start, Lord, for our future, Lord, for this church and for us as followers and as warriors. Help us, Lord, to engage and take the offensive, Lord, and do what you've called us to do, Lord, and be what you've called us to be. Dismiss us from this place, Lord, but allow this the sobriety, the seriousness to remain on us, Lord, that we will continue to live in the commitment that we've made here today. Lord, let us not escape that. Let us not go back to business as usual and go on with our lives as usual, but help us, God, to flourish and stretch ourselves into this new dimension, into this new calling. We thank you, Lord. Be with us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Greet one another today.